Revelation, or not Revelation, Romans. Romans. Romans, Romans, Romans. I am a pre-tribulation rapture believer. 110%. A pre-tribulation, I mean a full 7-year tribulation, pre-rapture believer. That being said, God never promised us that it was going to be a bed of roses here. I don't believe we're going to see the wrath that's dumped out in the tribulation, but I do believe that it's wise to pray for the rapture and prepare that maybe he won't show up for a few months every week. I think that maybe a couple months down the road, maybe it's a couple months, who knows how crazy it could get. I think it's just wise to be prepared that way. But the most important preparation you can have going forward is reading your Bible, praying and reading your Bible. This crazy nut house of a world, this dumpster fire that we're in right now, which is not our home, we're just passing through this place, but it'd be real easy for the devil just to get you totally distracted and totally discouraged and to get you to believe some crazy thing that some bozo on the internet says because you've been praying for the rapture for 20 years and it hadn't happened yet, so maybe there is going to be a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib. That's not the way it's going to be. I do not believe that for a second. I believe we're leaving this place before the tribulation time, and it looks like it's going to happen soon. I will tell you this. It looks very soon. And all the stuff, I know we're not looking for a sign. We're looking for a Savior. We're looking for the rapture, the blessed hope. But if you take a look at that Pope and what he's doing right now, we are real close to getting out of here. He was just another quote-unquote religious summit that he had with all these Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and everybody but the Bible believers were there. And he's saying, you know, we're all basically lit religions are just different languages to get to God. And it's just everybody's going, we're just going a different route. And if we say my religion's better than yours, that's not right. And that is wicked. Because if you think Mohammedism is the same as Jesus Christ, relationship with him through the Bible is the same, you got problems. That's just setting the stage for the Antichrist. And the Abrahamic father's house and all that stuff where they got all that going, and now he's making his tour, doing that thing. Which, the writing's on the wall, as Daniel said, right? Many, many tickle you for us, and there it is. But crazy stuff. I think we're getting out of here quick. You know, either way, it doesn't matter to me if it's a nuclear warhead or the rapture. I know where I'm going, and there's about as good a chance of either one of those happening real soon, the way things are going. But my wife and I are like, yeah, well, let's just drive toward the warhead. I don't want, you know, oh, my arm fell off. Now what? You know, I want that. That's just, you know, hit me, man. I'm going right next to the missile silo and say, hey, there's your target. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how about this? Boop. You know, you heard about the Hiroshima shadows of the people that, you know, that's the left. There's Dave doing this. The shadow. Whatever. I'm saved, sealed, and set apart for the Lord's pleasure. Hopefully he's pleased with something that we're doing. Romans chapter number chapter number three. Here, I told you I goofed this up. On the second study, I did not cover on the paperwork some of the things that I thought I did because we'd talked about it. I didn't cover it. I made a mistake there. Does anybody not have the study number two? Okay. Paul, do you have yours? Okay. Dog ate it. Yeah. You gave yours to Charlie. Well, there's that. You guys will share that when you get home. You can fill in the other ones. All right. So in chapter number three, And like I said, in the next study, I'm going to jump back and pick up some of number 2 and then go to number 4 because I missed some. Chapter number 3, verse 21 through 5, 11. Chapter 5, verse 11 shows man is justified by trusting in God's righteousness. Righteousness. Chapter number 3, verse 21 tells us the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Who represents the law and the prophets? Moses and Elijah. They did on the Mount of Transfiguration, they do in the tribulation. Who is the manifestation of God's righteousness? Jesus Christ. So we're not trying to establish our own righteousness, we're trusting in the righteousness of God. And our trust is in Jesus Christ, which is God's righteousness. He is God's righteousness. Verse 24 tells us that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that's being bought back from the bondage of sin. Okay, that's what I just said. Anyway, the next one. Redemption is being bought back from the bondage of sin. And we look at this word, which is a substitutionary sacrifice or atonement made to satisfy our sin debt. Propitiation. Propitiation. The most basic way to look at that, and the most probably best explanation of that is a substitutionary sacrifice or atonement. In verse 25, we see that the substitution is applied to our account through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we understand the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. But what happened during the death, burial, and resurrection was the blood atonement. And that atonement, if there's no blood atonement, then there's no salvation. Because that blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin for a while and keep people right for a while and restore a relationship for a while, but we have the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, not only covering our account, but wiping our account clean. It washes us. It's cleansing. Okay, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Verse 28 and 29 tells us that in the New Testament, God is the God of the and the Gentiles. And we know before it was study number 1, we said the Greeks and the Gentiles, they're just different words for each other. We use those interchangeably. All right, let's jump back to Revelation. Sorry, I've been listening to Revelation. Think about Revelation today. Romans chapter 2, we'll look at a few things here. And then we'll look at a few things in Romans 4, and then I'll give you the handout. Verse 1 of chapter number 2 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest does the same things. So chapter 2, one of the things it tells us is that men are without excuse. We're without excuse. So when anybody stands before the white throne judgment without Christ, they will. They're without excuse. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 shows us, and it's explained well in 2 Corinthians 10 through 12, which is on the handout, so I'll give that to you. Those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that's talking about comparing yourselves among yourselves. He's talking about judging and then doing the same things and say, well, or judging according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou escape the judgment of God? So what he's saying is, we look at other people and say, well, what they're doing is not quite as bad as we are. Or, people, our flesh is a mess because we'll look at people and say, well, they do that, and I've done it, but they do that more than I do. I mean, we're just a mess. But 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us that judging, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. And of course, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. So it's foolish to compare yourself to yourself and expect you're going to go to the Lord and say, well, yeah, but I'm not as bad as they were. Well, yeah, but you're all wicked in the Lord's sight without Jesus Christ, right? So we're all wicked without Him. So according to verse number 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Paul's saying. So according to verse 16, the secrets of men will be what by Jesus Christ? Judged. Chapter 2 also calls out the hypocrisy of religion and of the religious. And we'll read verse 29 in chapter 2, and then we'll go over to chapter 4. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So verse 29 tells us that God is concerned with man's heart. Because he's telling the Jews they're doing this outward circumcision, but the problem is an inward problem. It's a heart problem. He talks in different places about the circumcision of the heart, cleaning up the heart. And that's what God's concerned with. Now, if you're going through the motions and everybody in the world looks at you and think you're just perfect, and your heart's filthy, God knows it. And God's not judging your outward appearance. He's judging your heart. God's not fooled by hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is just an actor, and it's somebody that acts. So God's not fooled by our hypocrisy. When we're hypocrites, we might fool anybody else, but we're not fooling God. So God's concerned with man's heart. All right, chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. I'm going to read down through here pretty quickly. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So it shows that Abraham was not justified by works. We know if we were justified by works, we'd have a reason to glory in our own works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Abraham didn't have anything to boast about. He just believed God, and God justified him because of his belief in God, his faith. So Abraham was saved by grace through faith. It was God's grace, and it was faith that Abraham placed in God. Now remember this, Abraham existed before the law was given. All right? So Abraham, the father of those under the law and those that are in Christ, his justification and his righteousness were given at two separate times, but they show a picture of God blessing him because of his works and God blessing him because of his faith. So he's the father of those that are under the law, and he's the father that kept the law that got to Abraham's bosom, and he's the father of those that trust in Christ. But Abraham was before the law. He was the foreshadowing of two things to come. But Abraham's salvation, Abraham being right with God, was by grace through faith. Verse 1 through 5 shows that Abraham was not justified by works. He believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. So we just seen that Abraham was not justified by works, and he was given righteousness. God counted his faith for righteousness. So it has nothing to do with works for us. Well, when you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, putting your faith in Him and trusting Him gives you immediately justification, righteousness, sanctification, all these things. Abraham, those things come a little bit farther apart, but he got both those things without the works weren't the credit for it. It was believing God and trust and faith in God. You can read through chapter 4 the rest of the way by yourself here, but I'm going to read down through here a little ways. But to him that worketh not, now let's go back to 4. Now to him that worketh in is the reward not of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So David speaks of the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. It is, but it's verse 6 here in Romans chapter 4 also. And verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, the last thing I want to talk about before we wrap it up with this study today is imputation. The word impute means to charge to one's account. To charge to one's account. So, we learned two things about God's imputation today. There, David talks about a man that God imputeth, so he charges righteousness to his account without works. He charges that righteousness to our account by putting faith in Jesus Christ. And he will not impute or charge to a man's account that trusts Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He won't impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So imputation, the word impute, just means to charge to one's account. So God doesn't charge our sin to our account, but he imputes his righteousness to our account because our faith in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, the blood atonement. So imputation is an amazing thing, and it's an amazingly important word in the Bible, and it's a good biblical explanation of our salvation because we get God's righteousness and we're not hooked to our sin debt anymore. So on Calvary, God imputed our sin debt to Jesus Christ. He laid it all on him, the sins of the world. And when you go to Calvary and believe the death, burial, and resurrection, trust the blood atonement of Christ, he imputes Christ's righteousness to you. So the word imputation, important word, it's not a difficult word to understand, but apparently there are a lot of folks out there that don't understand it because they don't understand that we get Jesus Christ's righteousness. And when you have Jesus Christ's righteousness, you're good. So I'm glad he doesn't impute our sin to our account, and I'm glad he imputes Christ's righteousness. That's part of the transaction at salvation in the church age. That's it for that. I will hand these out, and then we will, Lord willing, go over these next Wednesday. What's that? Read chapter 4. Come on now. The Chinese trees, they don't know how to separate them. There we go. We want to creed here. I even made it easy on you on chapter 2. You got the answers right up top. I felt bad about making that mistake, throwing you all off, so I